Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Some of the issues we'll be discussing today, Friday, May 31st, 2013. We're going to talk about the Bush administration convicted of war crimes. We're going to talk about 40 statistics about the fall of the U.S. economy. We're going to talk about the time to sell foreclosed homes. It's a record. And we're going to talk about the number now on disability. And a lot of things to talk about. We're going to get started right away with the market report. Gold today, those dirty dogs. Gold is down $28 today at $13.86. You have silver down 57 at $22.31. Platinum down 30, $14.61. And you also have palladium down $8 today at $753. The USDX today is trading slightly higher, 0.36 at $83.36. Crude oil today took another hit to the downside, down 1.94 at 91.67. The markets today also tumbled in the last hour of trading. I was trying to find some info as to why it was hitting. It was a 207-point drop in the Dow, 15,116. The NASDAQ was down 35 at 34.55. S&P down 23 at 16.30. Listening to some financial news, they were talking about a $3 billion imbalance that came up in the last hour of trading for sale, in shares for sale. And they're assuming that is the reason why the market did a turnaround. It was actually up triple digits today. So you had a pretty big drop of, I think I heard it was up 160 points to turn around to close down 203. That's a big turnaround. And so it'll be interesting to see the additional commentary on that $3 billion of shares that came into the market in the last hour of trade or so. So, of course, it is... they mentioned the name Morgan Stanley, so no surprise there. Be one of the big banks out there to create that type of a trade.
And you're talking about their selling 3 billion shares.
3 billion of shares.
Now that's strange.
Rebalancing of their portfolios.
And, I think somebody's going to get their wrist slapped for that one. They're supposed to be selling gold. They're not supposed to be selling. Supposed to be selling paper gold, not supposed to be selling equities. What's going on over there?
I don't know, but the funny thing about it is there had to have been
somebody's
somebody.
On vacation. That's what's happened. The boss is on vacation, and the rest of them are just goofing around in the office now, and they've sold equities instead of gold.
The two things, you know, number one, there had to have been some sort of buyers. You know, they had dumped 3 billion of shares in the last hour or so of trading, and to only have it down 200 points, you know, is not so bad. On the other hand, you know, they do this in the end of the month. And of course, right into the last hour of trading, so they have all weekend long to settle the trades, and come Monday, it'll just be a blip, another blip on
3 billion. Not 3 million.
Three billion. That's what they said.
That's an extraordinary number, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure the numbers that are standard on the equities markets, but regardless. I mean, 3 million, I don't know, not that big a deal. 3 billion, that's a lot. I don't understand that. It's something we'll have to look into, and we will perhaps have more information on it for Monday. What else do we have, Melody?
Well, the last minute of the day today at 1:59 Pacific time, which is 3:59 Eastern time, the asteroid, what is the name of that asteroid? 1998. QE2 will make its closest pass to Earth at 1:59 p.m. And there's many discussions that it's going to hit the Earth, but it's not supposed to. If it did impact the Earth, it would probably result in global extinction. So,
you know, it's interesting. I don't know how far the extinction extends and the rest of that sort of thing.
It's 1.7 miles long.
And how close is it going to be?
It is supposed to be. It was discovered 15 years ago. And at its
It's going to come between our orbit and Mars or something like that. I don't regard it as close unless it singes the atmosphere. That's close.
At its closest approach, the asteroid will still be 3.6 million miles from our planet, about 15 times the distance between the Earth and the Moon, but it will be close enough for these powerful radar antennas to see features as small as 12 feet across. With radar, we can transform an object from a point of light into a small world with its own characteristics.
Sounds interesting. I'm not particularly impressed by something that misses me by 3 million miles or 13 million miles or whatever it was.
Well, I think anything.
If it misses me by 100 feet, well, I would pay attention, you know.
You would think that might have some disruption in, you know, the satellite, you know, whatever, but who knows? Don't know, and I guess if it happened, it happened. But
I don't know. I have no idea. But we'll watch and see. Just in case it veers off course at the last minute, folks, pay attention until 1 minute to the end of the hour.
Do you think
if the program is still on the air an hour from now, then the asteroid missed. Right? It did not veer and hit the planet Earth.
Do you think our hair will stand on end?
Yours might. Mine probably won't.
Unless
I find the jar where I keep it, I'll look in the jar and see if it's standing on end or not. But not in my case. Probably not.
Anyway, it'll an exciting end to the program today.
Mm-hmm.
Along with it being the end of Friday, and a Friday, the end of the month of May 31st. So come back on Monday. It will be June. But moving right along, yes, they did hit gold today, Al. Quite a bit, but, you know, we talk about big meetings, and I've said, you know, whenever you have your G8, your G20s, your meetings in Washington or whatever, you usually will have gold reduced in price. Next week is the Bilderberger meeting. So, you know, it happens every single time. The Davos meeting, they always hit gold the week before or days before. So does it really have anything to do? I don't know. It just always seems that you could pretty much, it'd be a good bet that gold would be down during or prior to one of these meetings. But
yeah, but even so, we're up as compared to where we were a week ago.
Yes.
All right, we're down today and the rest of that sort of thing, but we're up over the course of the last, last time we were at this price, we are even with 14th of May. We are up in the last several weeks. Last 2 weeks, we're up. And what can you say? Sometimes the gold should go up, and sometimes the gold should go down. But generally, we still believe that gold is going to continue to rise.
Yes, absolutely. Long-term fundamentals, folks, that you can't change. And that's how you should be purchasing your gold and silvers, based on those fundamentals. And not with all these other promises and so forth. I'm going to be checking into a program. Someone is told me that he was getting phone calls from folks trading in, being able to take your 401k, take physical delivery of your gold, and it would only cost you $400 to fill out the paperwork. It's like, okay. Folks, be careful out there. If there's people calling you for all these programs, hang up, because the only one that it's going to benefit is them. Ask yourself, why are they calling you? So if they had such a great program, they wouldn't need to be making calls out to you. They would be busy enough. So that's why we never get the opportunity to call our clients, because we're too busy to call out. We don't hire, people off the street.
Phone solicitors
to take our books and call you and hype you into buying gold and silver. If there is a need for you to be called, we will call you. But we don't have time to call you. But we do appreciate each and every one of you who do. And it's not that we don't appreciate you, we don't call you, but it's just a lot of hype when they do.
How come you call me every day, Melody? Huh? You're not calling all the rest of the people, but you call me. I don't know. It's one of those things.
I don't
generally
know.
Speaking, I'm not that crazy about receiving phone calls, but I do get one or two from you, seems like, just about every day.
I got to keep you on your toes.
Well, I guess that's probably what it is.
Bush administration.
Keep me from, all right, Bush administration.
Administration's convicted of war crimes.
Yeah, there's something that's happened in Kuala Lumpur. In February 2011, Bush was forced to cancel a scheduled appearance in Geneva, Switzerland, after a human rights group filed a criminal complaint charging him with violating international treaties against torture. His trouble increased dramatically a year ago when Bush, along with former Vice President Dick Cheney and former Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, and several other top Bush administration officials were convicted of war crimes in absentia by a special war crimes tribunal in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. The Kuala Lumpur War Crimes Commission was convened and conducted according to internationally recognized procedures and rules of evidence, and the week-long hearing ended with a five-member panel unanimously delivering guilty verdicts. And these apparently came in just recently, and the significance is the article I'm reading from says, is the verdict legally binding? Are these troublesome aspects to the idea that foreign tribunal can sit in judgment of a U.S. president, whatever we may think of his actions? It's an odd situation. It doesn't have a great deal of meaning on one hand. It's more symbolic than anything else. But it does suggest that President Bush, former President Bush Jr., and former Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney, Vice President Dick Cheney, they may not be able to travel as freely as they once did. It may be that if they go into foreign countries, who knows, perhaps they're going to have to use a phony ID, a phony passport, to avoid being arrested based on Kuala Lumpur's conviction. The point to all of this is that somebody out there actually cares enough to actually say that people in government cannot do anything they want, anytime they want. Now, what we see with one foreign country, and that's all this is one foreign country. It's not big news, but it's interesting. We see people are objecting to excesses committed by our own government. And that objection is not simply seen in foreign countries, it's seen in this country. And I don't know if our government is going to get the message or it's not going to get the message, but it does seem to have gone too far. And for most of the past 6, 8, 10 years, it seems dedicated to go further and further and further. Just recently, we've seen a little bit of pullback, in my opinion, by President Obama. Maybe he's beginning to get the idea that public resistance and antagonism toward the government has grown to a degree and is continuing to grow, and they're finally having to admit that they can't just keep shoving people around. Somewhere along the line, they're going to have to start treating people, both in foreign countries and in this country, as if they had some significant rights. These convictions for war crimes refer to use of torture. But there's other people in this country that find the use of genetically modified foods to be every bit as threatening as torture. Now, that may sound like a bizarre idea to a lot of people, but people who have studied the issue of genetically modified foods recognize that there are enormous perils that have not been considered. They haven't been adequately tested. They've been simply ignored in order to make a fast buck and sell products from Monsanto and the rest of the big agricultural companies around the world. Seeds, pesticides, working in combination that may be destroying our soil. And these things are happening because we have a government that increasingly appears to be nothing more than a pack of psychopaths who can't get past anything other than how do you make more money? How do you get more power? It's no longer a question of what's right and wrong. It's a question about profit and loss, power or loss of power. But there's not a moral. There is no significant moral predisposition up in Washington. We have I just posted an image on my blog just yesterday, I think, and it's entitled "The Good Question," and it's really very insightful. Someone else did this. I just copied it. I put it up on the blog where people could see it. It's not my work. It's just my selection. But there's a poster, and the poster is a picture of the Branch Davidian complex in Waco back in the 1990s that is burning, and the conflagration that is going to destroy this facility where the Branch Davidians were. And the headline is, "The FBI and ATF killed more children at Waco than were killed at Sandy Hook." And then down below the picture, it says, "Where was the outrage then?" And although you can't see the picture and you can't see this really is a very insightful. It offers, how can it be that our government claims to be so traumatized? Oh my gosh, some children died at Sandy Hook. It's just awful. Let's suspend the right to keep and bear arms. And yet more children were killed by the government. Now, I guess that would translate into 20 years ago or thereabouts at Waco. Nobody complained then. Nobody said, oh my gosh, this is terrible that the government is killing children. They incinerated a bunch of children. Huh? It's just wrong. It's wrong. And as this poster asks, where was the moral outrage then? How is it that government can kill children, and when private people do, it's grounds to disarm private people, and when government kills children, it's not? It illustrates a fundamental problem that we have, and maybe it's always been here, and it's just more apparent today than it has been in the past. But we have a government that has no real sense of moral values. It's all about the money, all about profit and loss, and it's contrary to all of our best interests. I'm Alfred Addisk. I'm also playing the piano that you can hear in the background right now. No, that's Frank. Frank is playing the piano. We'll be back on Financial Survival. Melody and I will return in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll-free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
We're going to carry through the loan package. Yeah, we were talking about loans during the break. The special gold and silver $535, an AU $5 Liberty gold piece, along with a 1 ounce 2013 Silver Eagle, and free shipping, all for $535. They can give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. We're going to run it through all the way through the weekend. So just give us a call, leave a message, and we'll get back with you to lock in prices for you. So make sure you visit our website, DGScoins.com, DGScoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And you can also listen to the programming archives also from the website and live. I was just looking at this. We were talking about this during the break about the loan companies, about the billions. These companies are making billions preying on the people who cannot live on their paychecks. They find it difficult to make ends meet from paycheck to paycheck. And about 12 million Americans take out payday loans. and they pay approximately $7.4 billion in interest and fees on those loans. And once they get hooked, it's unlikely that they stop. More than a third of all these payday borrowers take out between 11 and 19 loans during the course of a single year. And they're estimated to be, these payday loans are estimated to be about 20 times more expensive than bank loans, with annual interest rates that are sometimes as high as 500%. And they know that the poor...
That's on an annual rate. Yes. What it means is, for example, we talked about this in one of the illustrations that you brought up. You borrow $100 today, and when payday rolls around, you pay back $115. Now, it's $15 essentially on $100 for a week. And that some people say, well, that's okay. But on an annual basis, it translates into 300-500%, which is an extraordinary return on whatever capital is being put up by the banks, whoever are making these loans. Plus, it creates a very serious problem. If you're going to borrow, if I can't make it until payday, my check is coming in on Friday, I can't make it till Friday, I got to have $100 out of one of these payday loans. Okay, I'm going to pay back $115 on Friday. I borrow $100 today, or say on Wednesday, and I'm going to pay back $115 on Friday. All right, now I'm $15 down on my paycheck for the next week. If I'm already living, I couldn't make it from one week to the next without an extra $100. I'm going to need an extra $115 for the following week to make up for the interest. I need $100 more. A little difficult for me. I'm not able to express this clearly, but I think you get what I'm talking about. It just puts you deeper and deeper and deeper in the hole. And the question is, are the people who take these payday loans, are they being exploited by the lenders who charge excessively high interest rates? And the answer is probably yes. I don't doubt that's true. But there's also just a question of discipline. If you know you're only going to have X number of dollars coming in on Friday, you have to learn to live within your means. You can't go, this is evidence of a mentality that has been pervasive in this country for a couple of decades. The idea that you can shop till you drop. Now, I know that the people who are taking out payday loans are not out trying to shop till they drop, but they are still behaving as consumers rather than producers. They're spending more than they earn, and it's something that you have to avoid. I know sometimes you have emergencies, things happen, and you got to have some extra money. I get that. But still, the lesson is you must learn to live on what you earn. If you can't go into debt in this society at this time, now, to my mind, it's just terrible bad habit, terrible bad business. I know some people do, and they'll do it successfully. It'll work out for them. But the average person, you've got to discipline yourself and say, look, if I make $500 a week, I'm going to try to live on $350 so I can save $150 a week. Huh? I'm not going to try to live, if I'm making $500 a week, I'm not going to say, well, I got to have $600 a week to spend. I can borrow $100. It's one of the most dangerous and self-destructive things you can do, in my opinion. And so who's responsible? We have people that are exploiting the poor and the undisciplined. We have the poor and undisciplined who expose themselves to exploitation. I don't know. We have a symbiotic relationship there.
But the 12 million, I would not have thought that it was that high, but...
Well, it's probably going to get higher.
It's going to get higher, much higher. You betcha.
Being squeezed and squeezed and squeezed.
You betcha.
It also reflects to what it has. It's at least impacted by however much inflation we have in this country.
Mm-hmm.
If the price of groceries is going up, and you still got to feed the family, and the price of groceries has gone up $100 a month over the course of the last year, guess what? If your paycheck hasn't gone up $100 to compensate for the inflation, you've The average person is going to want a payday loan in order to buy some groceries, to feed the wife and kids, and so on. It's not surprising. It's evidence of difficult economic times. It's just one of those things that you hope you can learn the lesson. Try not there, but for the grace of God, go I. You know, it's not a question of pointing a finger and saying other people are stupid. It's a question of saying, thank God I'm not in those ranks. But you got to recognize that some people are. They need to be more disciplined, and people in government need to be more responsible to try to provide an economy where people have jobs.
Here's a little bit of good news, I suppose. The TSA, we all know they were supposed to eliminate the X-ray machines, and I guess they have they announced it has finished removing them all from airports as of yesterday. What was interesting is they were originally mandated to have them removed by June of 2012. And it's just amazing that they were allowed to extend it for another year. But
who did they sell them to?
I don't know who they sold them to.
Probably sold them to a bunch of doctors or something like that. You can probably, if you miss them, you can go to the local hospital. They have these new X-ray machines, you know. You don't even have to go in and disrobe. You just walk through the machine coming into the hospital, give you an X-ray, put it on your bill, $200. You got to make that money, Melody.
Yeah, I know. Well, they, you know, maybe they'll, who knows? Who knows what they're getting? But just another bunch of wasted money. You know, money that didn't need to have, it didn't need to happen.
It wasn't just wasted money. It was a terrible insult to the people.
It actually was.
It was the sort of thing, it was evidence of a police state that had grown intolerable. And I don't know that the police state is ending, but government has simply laid on more abuse than the public is, should have to bear. Maybe they're backing off right now. I'm not sure if that's true or false. I know they don't want to, but it may be they just recognize they have to push too far. That was one of the causes for rising public dissent, antagonism. We don't like what the government's doing. And the government, perhaps, they pay a little attention to us.
What was so awful was the way these people treated the people, these agents at the TSA. I mean, where did, you know, did these people get this power? They feel like they have this power over other people. And the way they treated handicapped people and babies and little children, it's like you don't treat another human being in that manner. And it just, what is wrong with these people?
It's part of a mentality that goes to, we talk about it every once in a while in this program. I've been sued by the Attorney General of Texas for $25,000 a day, $9 million a year, because I was fiduciary for a trust that leased some equipment to a corporation that manufactured colloidal silver. The case involved drugs. Everyone, I was one of seven defendants in the case, and the drug was colloidal silver. It wasn't heroin or cocaine. It was a civil suit, not criminal. But nevertheless, it relied on the same definition of drugs that you see in criminal trials. That definition included the phrase at both the federal level and at the Texas state level, the definition of drugs and also medical devices, which played in this particular case. Both of them include the phrase man or other animals. And they included twice in the federal definition and twice in the Texas definition. And we found it in five other states where we looked. We presume it's in all 50 states. That might not be true, but it's in the majority of states and perhaps the vast majority of states. And we've traced it back to as early as 1906 in the Pure Food and Drug Act. The phrase man or other animals means that they presume you and me and Melody and everyone else, your kids, your parents, your spouse, they presume us all to be animals. And this is no small thing. A lot of people don't understand how significant this is, how enormously significant this is. The government has presumed us to be animals since 1906. As such, we have no of the we are not entitled to the unalienable rights that started this country out, as declared in our Declaration of Independence. If you're an animal, you don't have any significant rights. If you're an animal, you can be pushed and shoved. And just like a chicken on a Tyson poultry processing plant, I say it every time, but that's what it comes down to. And it's not a new situation. It's been going on for 100 years in this country. And we see the result, to some degree, in the mentality that Melody was describing. When you went to an airport and these TSA agents treated us with enormous contempt, disrespect. And the answer is, in part, the government doesn't see us as men and women anymore. They see us as animals. And their law makes it clear. It's not I'm not exaggerating. I'm telling you, when we, to the best of my knowledge, I'm the first man to read the law in 100 years and realize what it meant. Layman. And when we advanced to defense based on that, a freedom of religion defense, based on the idea that I'm not an animal as per the Bible, I'm a man made in God's image, the Attorney General dropped the case after they'd invested 6 years and nearly $500,000. They don't want the public to understand that the government regards us all as nothing but a pack of livestock. Every one of you has heard this before. The government sees us as livestock on the global plantation. We talk about it, but we talk about it as if it's a metaphor. No, it's true. And it's there in the definition of drugs. The whole war on drugs is based on the presumption that you folks are nothing but livestock. American medicine, which there's virtually no American medicine that doesn't include both either drugs or medical devices. Those definitions are define the people to be animals. Pharmaceutical industry. Their billions of dollars of profits is based on fundamental definitions of drugs that presume the people to be animals. Police state, based on the war on drugs, presumes the people to be animals. This is not a small thing. This is a large and this is a powerful and important insight. And what Melody was describing, in my opinion, the treatment people receive at the airports parallels this idea. I'm not trying to argue that the average TSA agent looks around and says, these people are all animals. He doesn't know that. But no one is making a significant effort to say, wait, I am a man. I'm made in God's image, just as it says in the Bible. I am endowed by my Creator with certain unalienable rights, as declared in the Declaration of Independence. And the purpose of government, as declared in the Declaration of Independence, is to secure my God-given rights. Nobody's making that argument. Nobody's asserting that defense. Nobody's complaining because we have grown up to be ignorant of our foundations, of the political foundations this country was built on. We don't have knowledge of spiritual foundations this country was built on. And we wind up being shoved around like animals, and we wonder why. Well, it's because we be dumb. We be ignorant. And if you want to stop them, you have to make the necessary effort to start to learn, to study, and then find the courage to stand up and speak out. But maybe government's gone too far. We see a little bit of evidence, just a little bit, in the last couple of weeks, where Obama is backing off on his drone strikes. It's evidence maybe they finally got the idea that, and he's allegedly backing off on the war on terror. Maybe they get it. This is counterproductive. It's not doing the government any good to continue to harass people and send in drones and just throw their weight around as if they were, 300-pound bully. And if that's true, hooray. Hooray for all of us. Maybe the government's pulling back on a police state. We'll watch and see. I won't bet that it's happening, but maybe. We're going to take a break. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. Be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom in the last third of the last day of the last week in the month of May. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
TGIF. So in any case, we're here on Financial Survival, and Melody, you got a question?
I wonder if that has something to do with the asteroid. Hey, we got a question. Let's see. Robert sent this over to us. I saw this article briefly. It's about California and Obamacare, and it's going to increase their individual health insurance premiums by 64 to 146%. And it is amazing. I saw some rates for, I think it was like a 25-year-old. Non-smoker, and he's buying insurance for himself. And the cheapest plan that can be purchased is the catastrophic plan. And usually the catastrophic plan, it doesn't cover your, you know, if you cut yourself and you need a few stitches, it's, you know, if you have something major happening. $184 a month for a 25-year-old catastrophic plan. To me, I think that's extremely high. The next cheapest plan is the Bronze Comprehensive Plan, costing $205 a month.
And what's the top of the line? What's the most expensive? Does it say?
It doesn't. It doesn't show. They just talk about this typical 25-year-old male, non-smoking Californian, will drive his premiums up between 100 and 123%.
100% means it's going to double.
Yeah,
that's what you're talking about. On average, your premiums are going to double with Obamacare. Now, I can remember when they first started promoting this thing, it was supposedly this was going to provide free medical insurance for everybody. It's not going to be free. It's going to cost you more than it did before. Plus, the services are going to be rationed, which means you're going to get less medical care for more money. Such a deal. All right? This is just stupid. You know, this is like going to the grocery store and finding out they have not only doubled the price of food, but you'll get less food. And government is saying, we're here to help you. We're here to make sure that you're properly fed, and we're going to do that by doubling the price of food and also restricting the supply of food, so we'll ration food, and you can pay twice as much and get less. And so far, that message does not seem to have penetrated among most people in this country. I'm not sure how many people are rioting about Obamacare. I don't know. I don't really expect any riots just yet. But you know, how many people are seriously opposed at this point?
What'll happen is you're going to have, you know, the folks that will be most impacted. Yes, you're going to have the higher premiums. People won't carry it because they'll figure the fine is cheaper than the insurance. And but I mean, who's really going to complain? You're going to have the older folks who are going to be restricted on their care, and they die. Mm-hmm. You know, most people really don't care about old people. And, hey, they die. They live the good life. Let them die. And so who's going to complain about that?
I don't blame the kids anymore.
Yes, there's a lot of good children out there who take very good care of their parents. But there's also another group of children who probably look a little forward where they don't have to take care of their parents anymore. They hope, you know, if there's and especially if there is funds to be funneled down, some wealth distribution after the parents go. So who's going to complain about
anything? The sooner they go, the sooner we can collect them a will.
Yeah.
All right. Thank God for mom and dad and all the money they might leave me when they die. Some people think that way. I understand. I didn't get anything out of my folks. When they died, they took it all with them. They spent it all before they left, and whatever was left after that, the lawyers got. So I don't know. I don't put much faith in wills. They don't impress me exactly, but what can you say? We are just caught in a time when we are squeezed and squeezed for dollars. We're going to be more squeezed. Obama claims he's doing us, giving us something for nothing, or at least initially. Now he's giving us less for more. At a time when the people are already financially impaired by unemployment, relatively high levels of unemployment, lower wages, competition with foreign countries, and cheap foreign labor. We're not protected by tariffs. We're going to be under increasing financial stress, and government, in its infinite wisdom, has decided to increase our taxes by means of Obamacare.
You know, he asked what rate increases do we anticipate here in Pennsylvania. I really don't know. I've seen my health insurance already increased significantly. Mm-hmm. They'll do it little at a time. But I think it will be the train wreck, as Senator Baucus called it several weeks ago, and he was part of the, you know, he was involved.
He
in
helped
the
originate it. He was fundamental to allegedly drafting the bill itself. Although I'm not sure what special interests drafted Obamacare, but it was several hundred pages, might even be 1,000 or more. I'm not sure, but the bill is a massive. No one man could have put that together. It was assembled by some organization, and it was assembled for purposes other than health care.
Actually, it's a carbon copy of Britain's health care.
Well, that might be.
No, it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that makes a certain amount of sense to me, because somebody had to. There's no way. Our Congress doesn't legislate anymore. They broker laws. Someone supplies these things, and Congress, if they bribe the congressman properly, some congressman will stand up and speak in favor of it, and if he can round up enough buddies to vote for it, we get that law. But it's not legislated in the sense that a congressman from the state of Oregon starts arguing with a congressman from the state of Texas to see, okay, I think it should say this, I think it should say that, and they draft the language themselves. They're not doing that. The bills are by and large coming in prepackaged from another source, and then they just broker them. They don't legislate. It is part of the abuse and the problem we have in this country. Government, it's Obamacare. What did Nancy Pelosi say? You have to vote for it, and then you can find out what it says. How bizarre and crazy is that? Huh? You guys got to know the essence of every law. Supreme Court has ruled on this a number of times. The essence of every law is congressional intent. If you find a law and there's a phrase in it that you can't quite make sense of, It might mean A and it might mean B. It's ambiguous. And so it goes to the court, and the court has to figure out what does the law mean. And when they look to discover what did that phrase mean, they will chase through the hearings and the debates and whatever legislation was taking place in Congress, and they'll look for clues. What did they mean when they wrote this law? Because it's the legislator's intent. That is the essence of the law. But how can there be any intent when no one even read the law before they voted for it? There is no legislative intent behind Obamacare. They didn't even read it. No intent, no law. What does it mean? I don't know. I'm not even sure, but it's an argument that if push came to shove, I guarantee you, if someone wanted to push me and say, you are going to pay this price on Obamacare, I'm going to sit back and I say, yeah, what's the legislative intent? And on top of that, because Obamacare ultimately involves drugs and it involves medical devices, if it were me, I'd bring up the issue that it's only designed for animals. I'm not an animal. My Bible says I can't be. It says on the sixth day God created man in his image and gave man dominion over the animals. As a Christian or a Jew, I can't be an animal. And if you pass laws that say I am, you're in violation of my freedom of religion. Insofar as the IRS is attempting to enforce Obamacare, in my opinion, the IRS is susceptible to that same argument. They're operating on the presumption when they try to collect the taxes or impose the fines. They're operating on the presumption that you and I and Melody and everyone else listening to this program, all your kids and your parents and so on, family and friends, you're all animals. It says so in the definition of drugs. It says so in the definition of medical devices. Obamacare can't exist without incorporating those definitions. They presume us to be animals. The income tax is based on the presumption we're animals. I believe that if a defense was mounted against the income tax right now, based on the same arguments that I advanced 2006 with the Attorney General of Texas, I think you have a high probability. There's never a guarantee, but I think there's a high probability that you could put the IRS back on its heels. They can't deal with this argument in public. They can't admit that they view the people as animals. In fact, reducing people to the status of animals is one of the characteristics of genocide at law. That's not hype. That's not personal opinion. You can find evidence of this, that in genocide, the act of dehumanization, classifying any group of people as insects, vermin, animals, and it says that in documents that deal with genocide. It constitutes an act of genocide. Your government's committing genocide against you, me, and everyone else, and Obamacare is part of that genocide. I guarantee you, if you people understood the law, I'm sure this is confusing and hard to believe for many people, but again, I've been sued. Attorney General of Texas, $25,000 a day, $9 million a year. We ran this insight back at them, and they folded their tent. They dropped the case. And again, after $500,000 and 6 years, they just folded it up after I put that defense in there. We live in strange, bizarre, and improper times when your government is behaving as an enemy, not here to help you, not doing what's right for you, trying to reduce you to the status of animals and treat you according to, you know, push you around in the airports, force you to buy Obamacare, and the whole thing is... It's an abomination is what it comes down to. And it is so far removed from fundamental principles, spiritual principles on which this country was built, founded. Huh? And the government finds it convenient to treat us as animals. And they have gotten away with it because the vast majority of us don't have a clue to what's going on. But if you get that clue, and you can by means of programs like this, by means of the internet, information can communicate and convey. And all of a sudden, we really do have a chance to go back after these people and maybe put them in their place.
Well, we're going to talk about some of these people in the Bilderberger meeting. We're just about here out of town, but I guess they're out of time. I guess June 6th is their meeting in England. And, you know, what's interesting about this, you know, the Bilderbergers was the very secretive meeting for so many years. It's no longer secret. We all know who goes to it, the elite. And, of course, it's very similar to the Davos meeting. Davos meeting is economics, business. I looked at Bilderbergers. It's more political. But what's interesting, they're forcing the taxpayers to pay millions towards this meeting. And, you know, here you are, this global elite who get together, and they're making the taxpayers pay for it. These are billionaires, and they can't even pay their own way.
I understand.
Forcing it on the people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's just like...
Okay. Insult to injury.
Injury, yep.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's, and how does it happen? It happens because the people are, to a significant degree, ignorant, trusting, confused, fearful. And therefore, when big people come up, we're wealthy people, and they push you around, we put up with it. Well, maybe that's going to come to an end. Maybe it's going to, at least, I won't say it will ever come to an end, but maybe it will be diminished in the near future. Maybe enough people are waking up and standing up and speaking out and making petitions and going to court and getting involved, and maybe we're going to be able to see some change in the near future. And if we do, hooray for us. And if we don't, better buckle up, folks, because it's going to be a difficult time.
And, you know, it's the same old folks. You have the steering committee includes Mr. Clark, cabinet minister without portfolio, Thomas Enders, chief executive of defense company EADS, and Peter Sutherland, the chairman of Goldman Sachs.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is
the usual suspects. Yes.
Wall Street, governments, and in the select. So,
what are we going to do, Melody? Have a meeting of our own?
We got two more minutes.
Well, we can start meetings. You know, and I have a notion that we've got two. One of the things I'd like to try to start is a third political party. And a lot of people sit back and say, that's nonsense. You can't possibly do it. But in fact, I've looked at it, and it can be done, particularly for an off-year election of the sort that's coming up in 2014. 18 months from now, thereabouts, we're going to have probably no more than 40-45% of the people voting. If under those circumstances, it doesn't take 50% of the voters to, it doesn't take 50% of the eligible voters to win. It only takes about 20-22% in a two-party election. Three-party election, it breaks down to about 15%, maybe less. Huh? Mathematically, a third party is possible. Mathematically, it could be started and perhaps go viral if it had the right principles. It could be done in the next 6 months. And if it were, who knows? Maybe we could begin to make a significant difference. We'll maybe talk, we perhaps will talk more about that on Monday. In the meantime, I want to wish all of you folks to have a good weekend. I want to thank you for listening. As always, I'm here with my Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back on Monday. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? But still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.